Welcome to another edition of Alumni Spotlight. I'm joined today by former Packers wide receiver Robert Brooks. Robert, welcome back to Green Bay.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Now, your impact on this team began as a punt and kick returner, a lot like Antonio Freeman after you. He did the same thing, kind of burst on the scene as a return man. You returned a kickoff for a touchdown in your second season in 93. Then the year after that, you returned both a punt and a kickoff for a touchdown. What made you successful at that part of the game?
John Gruden told me it was the more you can do. And that was his quote, direct quote to me was, I was getting a little frustrated about not getting playing time I thought I should have. And he said, it's just the more you can do. He said, you get on every special team you can get on and just let the coaches know by your play that you're a playmaker and that they should be playing.
All right, I'm sure you've told the story 1,000 times, right. But Monday Night Football, Soldier Field, 99 yards down the right sideline. Tell us about it.
It was a play that came in a huddle that, you know, I couldn't believe, and neither could Brett. You know, he came in the huddle and said, can you believe this? Mike called Sluggo. You know, and so we had gotten ourselves backed up, and normally in those situations, Mike would be really conservative. He'd probably run the ball and then punt. He called Sluggo, you know, and I made a good move. Brett made a perfect throw and, you know, took it down the side.
Now, the following year, 1996, unfortunately, a knee injury ended your season about halfway through. You'd been through everything with this team, the three straight playoff losses to Dallas and all that. How tough was that emotionally to not be a part of or on the roster for the team that won the Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, I was on the roster. It's just I wasn't able to play in the game.
Yeah.
You know, the year prior to that, we had lost to Dallas, and in the locker room, I was crying, Brett was crying, Reggie was crying. I mean, you remember the game. I don't know if you do, but we lost a close game.
Yeah.
You know, we thought we should have won, and we really vowed at that time that we were going to go to the Super Bowl, you know, because we felt like that was our year. So we just felt like that was a missed opportunity, and so that was our mindset from the offseason. You know, we're a Super Bowl caliber team. There's no reason why we shouldn't get back to where we were and then now overcome that hump.
Now, you came back then in 1997. You had another 1,000-yard season as a receiver. The Packers went back to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Coming off that injury, did you ever have any doubts that you'd get back to being able to play like that again?
I was concerned about how it would respond, you know, later in the season. I knew how I felt in February and March of the off season, and so I was just concerned, would it get tired, would I get, you know, kind of worn down during the course of the season? And just it did great and didn't really wear out until really after the season. I think I was just on such an emotional high throughout the course of the season that it didn't really bother me.
So you were inducted into the Packers Hall of Fame in 2007 along with Leroy Butler. Kind of fitting because Butler was the guy who invented the Lambeau Leap, was the first guy to do it. You were the guy who popularized it with all the touchdowns that you scored later on. Did you ever think the Lambeau Leap would still be going on like all these years later? It's still such a big thing.
I honestly started doing it because I was looking for a way to get the fans off of talking about Sterling Sharp and the lack of having a receiver. And so I thought it was going to be a one-time thing that I was going to do. Like I said, I had soft film footage of Leroy's leap into the stands a year prior. And so that's what brought that back to mind to do in 95. You know, like I said, in 94, it wasn't even a phenomenon at the time until 95. And like I said, I was just looking for something, and I thought it was going to be something that Mike Holmgren would actually frown upon. You know, it'll be a one-time thing, I'll get a penalty, and no big deal, at least the fans will be talking about me. To be honest, I came to the sideline after jumping in the crowd in a game, and Mike smiled. It wasn't a big deal, you know, and I didn't get a penalty. So I said, every time I score, that's what I'm going to do, you know.
So it kind of took off from there.
It just took off.
So, Robert, what do you think defined the Packers in the era in which you played?
I think what's always defined the Packers is the fans' love for the team. You know, it's unique. It's different. There's no other team where the city, the, you know, there's no owner, so to speak, other than the people. And they've taken ownership to it. And I think that's what's defined the Packers for, you know, from the beginning. And it's still defining the Packers to this day. Fans are loyal. It has a college atmosphere. It happens to be a professional team. I mean, I didn't feel any different from when I was playing at South Carolina. I mean, we have that. It's the only game in town, really. You know, there's no pro team in South Carolina, so the fans are very, very much behind Clemson and South Carolina there. And so I think that's what adds the uniqueness to it.
Is there any one single moment from your time with the Packers that's the most unforgettable moment?
Probably when Reggie White came and he made the statement that if you win a championship here, it'd be like no other place or no other city in all of sports. And he was right. You know, won a Super Bowl here. It just the support, the fan support, it's on a whole nother level. You know, anything that's done on a high level by the Packers, the fans just elevate it, and it's just an awesome experience.